If there is one photo that I have in my collection that I would say changed how I viewed myself in the world of photography, it would be the shot that we're talking about today. From a seemingly mediocre shot of a historical site in Gyeongju to the pages of a National Geographic coffee table book, this image redefined who I was as a photographer, and we're going to talk about it in depth today. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Sajin Photography Podcast. My name is Jason Teal, and today we're going to discuss in depth, I would say, one of my most important photos, and that is what I affectionately call the Anapchi shot. Now, we're going to start doing this at the beginning of every month just to throw in a little bit of variety for you so you're not just hearing me drone on and on about different places around Korea. Of course, we will still have those segments on the last 2 weeks of the month, but I'm going to try and add some variety. Also, we've got some more interviews coming up for the mid-month, and I think this will add in a little bit more of a special program for you so that when you're listening, each week will be something maybe a little bit different and you can get used to that. Now, before we get into that, I just want to give a quick correction. Last week, I mentioned about fall photography, and I had said that Namae Island was closed. It is, in fact, open as it was swarmed by visitors over the last couple of weeks. So I apologize for that, but I had previously heard in a news article that they had shut it down, fearing, well, the inevitable that they would get swarmed by thousands of tourists, in which they have, so I'm not sure why they opened it. But at any rate, if you're looking to go to Namae Island, it is indeed open. All right, now let's get into the main part of this podcast, and that is talking about that Anapchi shot. Now, in order to understand sort of the importance of this area, you have to look at the history. Now, Walchi Pond was constructed in 674 under the supervision of King Munmu. Now, I sort of talked about him in the Gyeongju episode as well, as his remains or his quote-unquote tomb is actually some rocks on the sea just outside of Gyeongju. So he was quite an important factor in the construction of different historical sites in the area. With that being said, this particular pond and palace structure, as it's known now as the Donggung Palace in Walchi Pond, is exceptionally beautiful, especially at night. So it is quite a tourist attraction, especially now. So that was one of the things that sort of stuck out in my head. But in truth, I really didn't know too much about this place when I went to take this picture, nor was it the first place on my list as I went out to take the picture. To give you a better idea of sort of the mindset I was in when I took this photo, you have to understand that I was just bumming around the house on the Sunday afternoon and decided to jump on my motorcycle and ride out to Bulguksa. Now, I've always had a hit and miss relationship with actually getting to Bulguksa before they close, and this day was certainly a miss. I wanted to shoot the sunset over the temple area, and I just got there too late. So the doors were closed, nobody was there, and I just realized, well, I'm out riding around anyway, I've got the time, why don't I just head into Cheomseongdae, which is the ancient observatory, and photograph that with the sunset, because it never actually closes. You can actually stand outside the little fence and shoot inwards. But to be honest, it's not really the most exciting thing to shoot. And so as I was sitting at the lights just before I got to the location, I noticed that there was a large crowd forming in the Walchi Pond area. So I decided to, you know, wager my curiosity and go inside. I was very happy that I did, because there was a traditional concert going on, and it was amazing to actually see all of the people in traditional outfits playing things like the gayageum and everything like that. So as I watched that concert, I noticed the blue hour becoming more and more colorful. So I walked around the pond and set up my shot so that I could get a better glimpse of the palace structure and the reflection on the water. Now, I took a three-shot bracketed HDR for this, as I was still sort of experimenting with the medium back then. Keep in mind, I believe this was somewhere around 2007, so The programs were a little bit rudimentary, and so was my camera. I think I was still shooting on the 40D back then. So again, I just had the tripod with me. I set up, I got the shots, and didn't really think too much about it. I really enjoyed the shot. I think when I processed it, it came out well. But one of the notable features about this was that at the time I took it, it was before they installed the big sulfur orange nasty lights that Walchi Pond has on it now. So I managed to get all of the detail along the wall just over the pond, which is almost impossible to get right now because immediately they turn on the lights and it blows out those regions. So unless you're shooting through a filter or you've got some really mad post-processing skills, you're going to get blown out areas no matter what you try. And this includes probably HDR. So keep that in mind if you're trying to get the same shot now. Now you may be wondering, how exactly did it get to National Geographic if it's such a mediocre shot that pretty much, and I'll be honest, every one of you listening can probably go out and take. So how did it get to National Geographic? Well, that has a lot to do with sort of the state of the internet at the time. This was pre-Instagram, and I was very active on Flickr, and I was looking for other means. And I found it in the Your Shot community. If you're unfamiliar with this, Your Shot was a photo sharing site set up by National Geographic to sort of further their investment into the photographic community. And they use this a lot for, I think, their stock photography and, in fact, finding images to put into their magazine and books. So in the first stages, I uploaded this shot because I think it was a really nice shot and it showed sort of the historical side of Gyeongju without being too, you know, overly saturated as most of my images possibly are. And nothing happened. Nothing happened for a number of years until I think around 2013. And then I got an email from National Geographic saying that they were interested in using the image for one of their books. Now, I had originally thought that it was going to be some sort of spam that, you know, who would want this photo? And I actually sort of left it in my inbox for a while. And I remember joking to my wife saying, oh, yeah, you know, National Geographic wants my photo. And she turned to me and was like, what? Did you respond? And I was like, well, it could be spam. And she's like, I don't think that's spam. And immediately I sort of went back to the computer, reread it, and then my hands started shaking. So it was something good. And I emailed them back, realizing that, yeah, they were quite apt to have my photo in their book. And it was an amazing experience. Very, very easy as well. So I just sent them the file and it was done. Now, this comes sort of the funny part, because when we look at National Geographic, we sort of think them as the gold standard for a photo, that if they choose your photo, you know, you're one step closer to being famous. And this is why I say that it's more about the process than the actual photo for this episode, is that when I got confirmation that it was in the book, I was ecstatic. And even more so when I got the book. And I still remember this day. I was teaching at a middle school. I had to pay for the book myself, so it was sent to my office. And when I opened it up, I was like screaming and dancing for joy, because I thought, as stupid as this sounds, and I must admit, it's stupid, I thought upon receiving this book, something magical would happen. When I opened up the pages, you know, there'd be like a golden light or, you know, some sort of hallelujah moment, and that, you know, I would suddenly become a pro photographer working for National Geographic. You know, they'll be sending me to these exotic locations. I would finally get to wear my Indiana Jones outfit with my latest camera, which I didn't have to pay for because I'm a professional photographer. And nothing like that happened. Not at all. What actually did happen was I was really happy that they gave it a 2-page spread at the beginning of the book, because I thought for sure maybe afterwards that they would just put it at the back as sort of, you know, the Your Shot contributors, who really cares about these photos, boom, buried in the back. So that was great. And I remember like showing my colleagues in the office the book, and they were like, oh, yeah, great. You know, they didn't really think too much of it. And then so I remembered, you know, showing my students, and, you know, there was that sort of fake interest or maybe fear because I was so ramped up at getting published. But that was about it. Even years later, nothing happened, I don't think, because of that publication. And that's sort of the false hope that we put into sort of quote unquote getting published. I wrote a blog piece about it, which I'll link to below. But basically, I was thinking this would give me some sort of, you know, supernatural credibility that would allow me to get jobs. And that simply doesn't work. It's your body of work. It's your networking skills that get you jobs, not simply riding on the fact that you were selected from a Your Shot page to get published in a book. So yeah, nothing magical happened out of that. And I'm going to be upfront. I was a little bit crushed after a while, but you know, that's the reality of the business that we work in. It's not riding on the fact that you're getting published in a National Geographic book, unless you're doing it regularly or unless you're actually hired by these publications to do the work. And then you can put that on your resume. A one-off shot in a quickly forgotten book, not going to make you famous at all. Sounds like a little bit of doom and gloom. It sounds like, you know, one of the greatest accomplishments a photographer can have, i.e. getting published in National Geographic or something like that, has no value. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying that what I was thinking at the time was that this was the pathway to sort of quote unquote pro photography. What it did actually was give me a deeper sense of connection to the publication and to sort of the industry, that the impossible was possibly possible, if that even makes sense. So what it basically did was it just hammered in that I was on the right path to something. But it also led to some really good interactions with people. One of the more memorable ones was actually when I returned to Canada in 2015, and my best friend, Dave Harvey, at the time, had purchased a book. Now, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but Dave Harvey was a close friend who passed away from cancer in late 2015. So this was basically like the last time that I saw Dave. And the first thing he did was he pulled out that book and got me to sign it. And I remember that awkward moment of like realizing, you know, I didn't really know what to sign. So I just basically wrote, "You started this," and my name. And the reason I put that there was because Dave was the guy who got me into photography. He was instrumental in teaching me the basics and everything I knew about photography. But also, he was the guy that got me to Korea. We were best friends in university, and then he was the one who got me to come to Ulsan, South Korea, and kicked everything off. So having him, just how proud he was at that moment in time that I was there in that book, just, he was glowing. And, you know, after that, it was always sort of a treasured memory, especially after he passed away later on that year. Again, having that photo in that book was really something special to a lot of people. Another story that actually came out shortly thereafter was when I got back home to my parents' place in Brandon, they hadn't really been able to find that book. I think my mom got a copy at some great expense because they had to order it. I went to the local bookstore and they had copies of the book, you know, in the bargain bin at the front of the bookstore. And I remember asking the clerk if they had it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, they're over there. They're for, you know, $15 or something like that." And now keep in mind, I had paid like closer to $50 for this book. So I was a little bit gutted, but she was sort of interested into why I was looking for that specific book. And so I told her, "Well, you know, my photo is in this book and I just wanted to pick up some copies for my family." And then she freaked out and got me to sign a bunch. And then as people were coming in, they were curious as to why this random guy was signing books. And then she told them that, you know, his photo is in the book as well. So I think I ended up signing like 5 different books for just random people. So wrapping things up, I know that there's a few funny stories here and you got sort of an idea of what I was doing when I got this shot. But I just want to say that, like, do not rely on some sort of one-off thing to actually get you famous, or even if getting famous is worth the effort. Just focus on the craft that you do and building the network that you can, and you'll get those jobs as soon, at some point in time. But with that being said, I just want you to go out there and get some photos and let me know how it goes this week. Take care and see you next week. Just one more thing. If you enjoyed this sort of episode where I tell the tales behind the photos, just give me a thumbs up or a comment when I publish this, because I do think that this is sort of an important aspect of photography, and it will definitely focus on photos from Korea. So just let me know what you think in the comments below. And once again, thank you and take care.